Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. It's time to gain knowledge and become the guardian of your financial future. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, which is 3684. All the information from our show is on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
Smartwithyourmoney.com. We are getting a lot of website hits on there. It's become one of the premier personal finance blogs out there. It's exciting. And yeah, we're also getting a big following on Facebook. You look up Doug Haldeman Show on Facebook, hit the like button. We have almost 3,000 fans on there. And then also our podcast. On our website, you can dial into the podcast. But make sure to recognize, you know, if you listen to podcasts at all, you can look it up in iTunes or look it up in Google Play. Look for Smart With Your Money with Doug Haldeman in iTunes and Google Play, or listen directly on the website. So I am joined by my trusted co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome, Tammy.
We made it.
We did make it. We did make it. So it is a beautiful Sunday. We're happy to be here. Mm-hmm. So Tammy, you had some questions. I know you had some friends that you were counseling about finances recently.
Yeah, I did. A friend of a friend kind of situation. But basically what this scenario is that they're not married. They're an unmarried couple, but they're looking to buy a home because they have plans to get married. But they found out that he didn't quite have the credit that was stellar. So now they're faced with, what do I do? His salary could make the loan, make it happen, but his credit's bad. Her salary wouldn't qualify. She doesn't make enough, but her credit is stellar. So I'm sure this happens to you a lot. So give us some advice on that situation.
Well, this does happen a lot. This is something that comes up on a weekly basis with us. So in the mortgage industry, it's important that you know as a consumer how lenders end up looking at these situations. So if we have a couple that's applying for a loan, the lower of the two borrowers on their credit scores is what we call the determining credit score. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's give an example. So let's say the woman has the 770 credit score and the husband has a 640. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to be going off of the 640 credit score. So correct. Whomever's worse out of the two is the one we use. So let's say if one of the parties has a score that's lower than what can qualify, okay, now it's a whole different set of factors. So let's say they're below a 580 credit score and they can't be on the loan at all. Well, now we can't use their income either.
Correct.
So we have to look in that case at what if we do the loan only in the one with the good credit's name, can they qualify? Okay, so and we're talking about just qualifying for the loan first off, and then we're going to talk about the other considerations.
Right.
Yeah, the other considerations after that. So if they can qualify just in their name, that's a pretty common scenario. And frequently we'll do that even if the other person can be on the loan, but the rate would be much higher if they're included. Then it's better to leave them off the loan and only have the person with the good credit score to qualify, okay, to get the best interest rate. Mm-hmm. Whatever's the better interest rate. Some people are strange about the fact that they want to make sure that they're both on that loan. And you have to realize that you have to separate the loan, which is the note. Okay, that's the instrument that a lender uses to make sure, you know, that shows that you owe the money. Separate the note from the deed. Okay, the deed is who actually owns the property.
Correct. Right. So you can put both their names on there.
Absolutely. You can both be on the deed, even if you're not both on the note. Mm-hmm. And you could do that whether you're married or not.
Correct.
Right. One of the considerations you have to put in there, too, is so if you're not married, where did the down payment money come from? So so I was at a closing the other day with some first-time home buyers, and the title company was asking them how they want to take title. Because one way they take title would give rights of survivorship to the other person. Mm-hmm. Gives an unmarried couple. Do they want to give rights of survivorship to the other person, or do they want to pass their equity on to their heirs? Okay, and that's an important question. The title company, after they thought about it, they each said, well, we probably want to pass it on to our heirs. And the title company wasn't really going to give them all the facts. And after I I told him, I'm like, listen, you need to think about that, because if one person had put a whole bunch of money down, mm-hmm. now you probably would want to pass it on to your heirs, because you know, now my equity in the property, there's a bunch of equity, because if I'm the one that's put a bunch of money down, I need to make sure that my portion is protected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in this case, these people didn't put any money down. It was a USDA loan, you know, with 100% financing. So they had no money into the transaction. So any equity they gained together. And if one of them happened to tragically die and it goes to their heir, well, now all of a sudden, you know, the house that you built together and, you know, cash that you may have put in along the way, you now have to deal with their family. So they actually changed their mind and realized they wanted to pass any equity on to the other person.
Okay.
In that case, even as an unmarried couple. Mm-hmm. So back to the case that, what if one person has great credit, but they don't have the income to qualify? What's the next option there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the next options is what we call a non-occupant co-borrower. Okay. And that's our version of a co-signer. Okay. Of our car loans, you hear a co-signer frequently. We call it a non-occupant co-borrower because, so most common would be one of the parents. So they get their mom or their dad or both of them to come onto the loan with them, but they're not going to live in the property. Okay, so they can do that without – the mom and dad don't even have to be on title to the property. They can just come onto the note as long as – and let's just say in this case, if it's the female and it's their parents, parents go on it. And then they can refinance it in the future and add the other person that was not on the loan the first time and get rid of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the parents have to be – they have to be cautious because it is going to reflect on their credit. They have to make sure that those kids are actually going to make the payment, because if not, they're on the hook for it.
That was my next question, was if whoever I have co-sign, if they're financially responsible for the debt, and the answer is yes.
Yeah, they're financially responsible for the debt, and it's going to affect their ability to qualify for loans on their own too.
You did have a situation that I think it's been a couple years ago, but somebody had that scenario also where they couldn't qualify for their own loan because they were on a cosigner for something else, someone else.
Well, the most common scenario with that is not just the debt ratio that can create a problem, but the kid doesn't make the payments on time. We mm-hmm. see it all the time with mm-hmm. car loans. So in most cases, if you're cosigning for a loan, yeah, if you're cosigning for a loan, you want to make the payment, have the kid make the payment to you, and you make the payment to know that it's done.
Mm-hmm. And in divorce situations too, this happens quite often.
All the time with divorces, right. Yes. Somebody's still on that loan, and certain attorneys don't write it in that they have to refinance the house mm-hmm. within a certain time period.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the situation, though, of a partner having bad credit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because this is something that does come up all the time. So when couples come in, and sometimes they tell me right off the bat that, you know, I don't want to put my girlfriend on, or I don't even want to put my husband or my wife on because their credit's bad, and they just know they won't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one thing that I do that I think is probably different from most lenders. I always tell them that even though your spouse or your significant other is not on the loan, I want to do a free credit consultation for you, because I'm going to be doing many loans for you during your lifetime. Okay, mm-hmm. I want to be your lender for life. And the next time we do a loan, I want to make sure that wherever their credit score is, we can put it on a path to improving it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a big deal. So if you're listening and you're in that situation where you want to make sure that your significant other gets their credit score up, reach out to me and I'll do a free credit consultation for you. You can reach me at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG. The best thing is actually to shoot me a text and I can reply, and we can set up a time to go over your personal situation. So, Tammy, let's talk about more situations that we see with one person with bad credit, because, you know, I'm sure your friend, because they're not married, do you think that should raise a red flag on marrying somebody?
Well, I did have that conversation with her a little bit to kind of think about things like what was making his credit so low, and there's different situations. So one was that he just didn't have the correct credit utilization ratio. So in layman's terms, you want to explain
right,
that?
Sure. In layman's terms, 30% of your credit score is determined by how you manage your revolving debt. So your credit mm-hmm. card debts, they'll take your balance and they divide it by the credit limit.
Mm-hmm.
The closer your balance is to the credit limit, the lower your credit scores. So if they're really maxed out on a lot of credit card debt, okay, now that's going to lower their scores. And here's where this is a concern is that I'm a believer that when you become a couple, whether it's when you're just dating or when you're married, you take on each other's baggage. Okay, it becomes marital debt. Okay, because in divorces they certainly split debt, even if one
it's
person.
Marital debt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's marital debt. Even if it's only one person's name, it still counts as marital mm-hmm. debt the same way there are marital assets.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be even between parties. So I'm a very strong believer in couples combining their finances. Okay, one person should be paying the bills between the two of you. And even with couples that are dating, the sooner you can make the switch, the better. Okay, it doesn't mean one person controls all the money, but one person is responsible for paying the bills because usually there's one person in the group that's better at it.
So here's what you're saying is that you would recommend, like in a dating situation, I can already feel like I just had anxiety moment for a second. Because if I'm dating and I don't really, you know, I like the guy and obviously I'm interested because I'm wanting to go buy a house, but do I want my checking account tied to him? But what we did when we were dating, you and I, we had a central account that the money was going into to pay the bills. So at least have
one
joint account that all the money gets put in for paying the bills. You can still transfer out to your other accounts for your own spending or all those habits. But what you and I got on the same page. And I had this with my ex, John. We had three accounts. He had his, mine, and ours. And the ours account was paying the bills. So that's what you're recommending.
That's definitely what I'm recommending. Mm-hmm. And it's in your vested interest to not only take on their debt, but if you're not married yet, it's pretty important that you start asking. You have to have these talks and get these conversations mm-hmm. out in the open and make sure you're on the same page with money, because mm-hmm. if you're not, there's going to be a lot of pain in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know it's the number two reason for divorce
mm-hmm.
is money. And mm-hmm. there are so many instances where it comes up in how much you intend to save. What are the retirement plans? What are the disciplines you're going to have as a couple?
Mm-hmm.
And where are you going to put the money? What financial advisor are you going to use? How are you going to set up your bank accounts? Are you paying your bills by writing checks every month, or are you going to pay them online? What are you committed to on your savings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then committing to something to help pay off that debt together. And I'm not saying you have to do that before you get married, but just at some point, you need to be a team.
The sooner you talk about it and the sooner you create a plan for debt repayment, I think the better it is, for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a situation where you'd like advice with this, okay, and you want to make sure that your significant other or your spouse, because this also happens with married couples mm-hmm. that keep their finances separate. Okay, how often have we heard that somebody gets a gambling problem or somebody has a shopping
mm-hmm.
problem
mm-hmm.
and there's no accountability? I think some accountability between a couple is very healthy.
Yeah, because the only house you maybe afford is the doghouse.
And you may end up in the doghouse
mm-hmm.
if you have no accountability and you're out overspending.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if you want advice with this, reach out to me, 314-472-3684. 314-472-3684. It's 472-DOUG is the easy way. You can call me or you could text me. And I'm a mortgage lender, but I'm also a debt strategist. So just know that we'll help you form a strategy that lets you pay the least amount of interest on all of your debt. Sometimes a mortgage ends up being a tool to do that. So reach out to me today. Now, coming up, we actually are going to be continuing this conversation because we're going to be talking about how to have that awkward money talk with your parents. Okay, it's another one of those white elephants in the room that nobody wants to talk about. We're going to talk about it when we return, though. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.